Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show! Welcome, it's the very latest edition of podcast's The One Show Show, which every week waits for TV's The One Show outside the school gate so it can duff it up, as no one has said in around 30 years. I am John Holmes, and once again we've been walking along the broadcasting beach, combing it for flotsam and jetsam, looking for televisual driftwood that we could whittle into something worthwhile, but instead all we've done is stepped in The One Show, something that BBC One has left there without taking it away in a bag and disposing of it properly. It's let early evening weekdays do its business and left it there lying in wait amongst the washed up single use plastic. Much to consider this week. This week, a cow is misidentified, some tarmac fails to win a prize, and The One Show literally turns up to the opening of an envelope. Joining me to sniff at The One Show's bum this week, it's writer, comedian and shouty voice of Dave's The Hurting, Jake Yap, and all-round actress and shouty voice of the Old Sex Podcast, among other things, it's Lizzie Roper. Welcome,
yay,
everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I just wooed myself.
I know you did. Now, let's start with you, Lizzie, because yes. Jake's done this before. Right, so you have watched The One Show.
Doesn't it?
It's always washed over me, but you come along with your homework.
Yeah.
And I've sat through four, and now I realise why you don't do that on a regular basis, do you?
No. I mean, has it ever been on in the background in your house?
Oh, yeah, my mother. You know, that's the rule. The One Show, the soaps. But The One Show does mean gin and tonic time. That's always good, doesn't it?
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. But I was quite impressed at how rude it was this week.
Oh, go on.
There were rude things.
Go on, like what?
Well, the very first 5 minutes of Monday's episode, when Bruno Toglioni, Cannelloni, Waninoni, who got it wrong about Matt Baker winning Strictly.
On a repetitive basis. I mean, he kept saying, you won Strictly. Matt told him, I didn't.
Yeah.
That's Trumpian. It's strong and wrong. You know, if you're wrong, you just keep going harder.
And that beautiful British thing of, oh, we can't, no, we have to say something. Oh, God, he's done it again. But just when they were about to go into the first bit of VT,
yeah.
Matt Baker said Felch, what? And there was a tiny moment of, should I? You can't.
I mean, I admit that passed me by.
Well, I listened to it over and over again, and there's a definite Felch in there.
Well, let's find out.
It's descending into chaos, is what it is. Anyway, let's put a Felch. Put a film.
Yes,
let's put a film on.
Quick.
Okay, we're going to start.
It's an early Felch from Baker there on a Monday.
Always right. And then it got ruder on Wednesday.
I mean, how can it? But go, do you just have a sort of radar that zooms
so.
Straight in
was
on
it
the
rimming? What?
No, so.
And now here's a film about a rimming.
I
not
didn't.
Everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah. So let's see how Giles got on.
On the Wednesday one, which I didn't realise was extra long.
Yes.
Because, yeah.
Yeah.
And so you ended up in that Brexit quagmire. Really?
Oh, we'll go into this.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
But when they were doing the Brexit quagmire, and I've even written down where it happened on my notes, you can and they say something, and then a member of the audience who's off camera, you can hear them go, "Fucking hell!"
Really?
You totally can.
I missed all of this. This is kind of like when you make a TV show, it has to go through compliance, where someone sort of legal and taste and decency, they have to sort of say, yes, this is okay. Mm-hmm. And when I've been doing The Hurting, available now on UK TV Play, they keep coming back saying someone saying fuck in the background. And it's like, they're not, are they? And you go back and you look and you go, oh my God, someone said fuck in the back. I made the show with headphones.
Well, as you mentioned the Brexit one, let's start there, because that was Wednesdays. And you're right, Wednesdays is always an hour, which if you, to the uninitiated like you were, it's a bit of a shock when you think it's finishing and then it doesn't. But this was a show of two halves, Jake, wasn't it? It was a show,
it was a show of four or five halves.
So many halves.
Yeah, so it started with Joe Lycett.
Yeah, it started
which
normally.
Which I didn't understand, because the introduction, the show opens, and it's like, constitutional crisis, parliament in meltdown, Joe Lycett. And it's like, hang on.
There's no hanging around.
Yeah, and I didn't, they asked Joe Lycett, do you want to see more police officers? And you could see him kind of going, does anyone care if I do? Like,
yeah.
Why am I being asked?
What was odd about it was that ordinarily on The One Show, you have some people in the studio, which they call the audience, but it's really just five, six, seven people. But they got a proper sit-down audience for this, because this Brexit thing was on the way. And poor Joe Lycett started doing... They showed a clip of his DVD, because, you know, he's flogging that. And then he started being, you know, doing comedy comedian words in the rhythm of jokes, you know, in the studio. To nothing.
Like someone's put a head on a melon. I think I'd ask them, because I suppose at the minute she seems very confident in her deal, doesn't she? And everyone else seems to be not confident, and I want to know what she knows that we don't.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know everything that she knows that we don't. But then I think I'd probably be frightened by that as well.
Well, Laura Koonsberg has the inside track on everything, so we'll ask her very shortly.
Yeah, I just met her and I asked her if she thought Boris Johnson ate an egg today. I had one chance to ask the political editor of the BBC a question. I said, do you think he had an egg today? And she was like, I don't know, he had dim sum when I saw him.
Great.
It's a good story.
First, if you were concerned about the lack of...
I mean, the audience were there to watch the Brexit thing. Yeah. They didn't want jokes. Yeah. They didn't want humour. And no wonder one of them shouted fucking hell, because that was the mood they were in.
The worst thing for poor Joe Lycett was when he's really racking his brain to come up with something to talk about being on tour, and comes up with a big smelly poo story.
Yeah, oh, about his hotel. Yeah.
Oh, isn't it awful when you do a big smelly shit in the hotel? No! And you can see Alex's face just going, yeah, I really, really didn't need that.
I checked into this hotel and the girl on the check-in desk said, like, do we go to uni together or something? And I was like, I'd not met her before. I was like, no, I don't think so. And then I went up to the room and really needed the toilet. So I went and did, like,
okay,
not a nice thing.
Yeah, okay,
I know people
get
at home. I'm sorry, I've ruined your dinner.
It's all right.
And there was a knock at the door, and I went to the door, and it was the receptionist, and she went, I've worked out, I love you, I love your stuff, I didn't realise it was you, I just didn't put two and two together, I've upgraded your room, let me get your bags.
Oh, no.
Into the room with, like, the stench of what I've just done. And then we just had to, like, be in a lift for, like, 30 seconds or so. And how's your day going? Absolutely horrific.
Oh.
Yeah. So sorry to that woman if you're watching.
Oh. Now, we also know that you're a portrait painter.
It was a tough room to play. I felt for Joe Lycett, because you're right, you had this sort of... this body of people, and they're all looking at you, which would suggest an audience, but they are not ready for comedy.
No.
They want their moment to air their views on Brexit, and they're bloody angry.
But this came about... Now, this must have been an emergency emergency one-show arrangement, because presumably this wasn't a thing before the government collapsed in the middle of the week in contempt of Parliament. So they must have... Because what they do, they got this thing called Brexit Cast, which is a... we don't really get it around here, but it's what's called a successful podcast. And,
no idea.
And they got the presenters of that in there, and they said, we're going to give the second half of the whole of today's one show to this podcast. So what you got was four people sitting on a sofa from Five Live. So Laura Kunzberg and Adam Thing and Chrissy Mason. Yeah, them. doing their podcast, but on the television for half an hour while Alex and Matt just stood over there.
Brexit cast.
Brexit means Brexit.
Breaking up is hard.
The people voted and they have to get on with it.
A process which I can only describe as a dog's Brexit.
Brexit means Brexit. But what does Brexit mean?
Meanwhile, we're going to try and get to the bottom of this. Adam, actually, we'll start with you in what the Brexit cast is all about then.
It is a podcast, so it's like a really low-budget radio show you download onto your phone and listen on the tube or the underground or the train or the way home from work. And we talk about Brexit.
And it was the oddest thing. It just didn't go there.
But that horrible bit of VT where you get non-actors doing acting. Oh, I'm acting walking down the street. I'm acting getting the phone. Don't. That's why actors do acting, because they're very good at it. They can make it look convincing. But Laura Kunzberg, who's a woman who looks like she's eating her own face, like a sinkhole, has appeared. And it's all just... Don't let her act. No more make-believe.
They did act. They did. I've not heard Brexit cast, so I don't know whether this is a regular thing, but they indeed did a little... It wasn't even an introductory film to their podcast. It was specifically for the one show, where they sort of had this setup of talking to each other. One's in a cafe, one's outside Parliament.
Like, is it Friends?
It was a classic moment of TV people trying to sex up radio.
The thing about Brexit cast is we just record it wherever, whenever, however. It's not very glamorous or very high tech.
We demand a people's vote!
So let me remind you then about what is in this deal.
And it's about 100 pages long and incredibly controversial. So let's save that one for the one show sofa, shall we?
Ah! Catcher's calling. Hola!
Hi, Chris. Ciao, Adam.
Bonjour.
So the withdrawal agreement is like our divorce deal with the EU, but there's another paper on the table. It's called the political...
And saying, we've got to make this visual, guys. We've got to make this... Yeah. I mean, it's a podcast. How do we make it visual? Mm. And we say, let's have them everywhere. So let's have one of them in a cafe. He's recording in a cafe. What? And saying, yeah, we record this podcast anywhere. Crazy. Let's have another one walking down the road, pretending she's podcasting, holding her phone like she's an apprentice. Like, it's a foot away from her and on speakerphone. But you can hear, like, full bandwidth. You can hear her whole voice clear as a bell because she's properly mic'd. And we're pretending that she's talking to the guy in the cafe. You've got Laura Kunzberg in Argentina.
Show off.
Yeah, and you've got Chris Mason using a lip mic. And the clue is in the name... Lip mic against your lip. It's the one that sports commentators use, right, where it's really noisy and you literally hold it against your upper lip. But he's holding it again like a foot away from him on Parliament Square. And the whole thing is just so utterly bogus.
Well, where they were saying, you know, in podcasts, sort of explaining what a podcast is, a ramshackle, it's sort of radio, but not quite. And you go, the production values you have, you're backed by Five Live, and all of their equipment was really proper, unlike this shoddy nonsense.
Oh, no, this is the most sophisticated pod room I've ever been in.
It's just that sort of, it was that real sort of first idea package thing of like, well, where should we have Katja Adler? In the bath. We have Laura Kunzberg strangling chickens. Like, it was so basic.
If only they had done that. And if they had, Joe Lycett would have painted it. Because that's his thing, isn't it? Joe Lycett likes to do some painting, it turns out.
Oh, my God, that was terrible what they did to him. That was terrible.
Well, which bit?
When they
I mean,
said,
narrow it down.
They
because
said,
they were...
oh, no, because you've done a painting of Ben Watney. You competition, and Ben wins, so Ben gets the painting. And they show the painting. And
let's say that painting isn't Joe Lycett's first skill.
Let's say, if you told me that Joe Lycett had put a paintbrush up his arse and wriggled around in a piece of paper, and that was the resulting painting, I wouldn't be at all surprised. So this painting meeting is produced that makes a man look very special, and then they present the idea that this man, who's really enjoyed this painting, has now turned it into a mug, a toilet seat,
yes,
which I didn't even know was a thing, all these things. And so, again, big laugh from all of us. And then they say, "Ha ha! Would you like to know what Ben thought about it?" Which was at the point where Joe Lycett could have hung himself.
Yeah.
And just said something really rotten. And thank God he didn't.
Because Ben, who's just a bloke from Twitter, who Joe Lycett chose to paint when this kid sent him his picture, was in the studio. And he painted Joe Lycett. And it was much better than Joe Lycett's paintings by quite the margin.
Yeah, but a very odd piggy nose.
Well,
it was all good apart that you lost me on the nose. And then he did say that his friend, who's very good at painting, had helped him with it a lot.
Yeah.
But the that business.
Yeah, I mean, that was... The one show... I feel like they've learned a lot and they've evolved a lot, and people definitely listen to this podcast because it's so hard to find a handbrake turn link now. I found one, but it's harder. But one thing that they haven't learned yet, and if you're listening, guys, next top tip for you, don't spring the studio-based surprise. It's never been successful. Mm. You know, when they had the thing with David Baddiel and, was it Kylie Minogue? They threw Kylie Minogue saying, right. Oh, we've got the same birthday or something. And then this guy in there, don't spring the surprise on the guests. It's never come out well.
I couldn't really understand what was going on there, because was it a surprise? Because the guy was clearly standing there. We didn't see it. The reveal was just in the camera. But the guy, to set up the guy with his painting in the studio next to the sofas out of shot, Joe Lycett must have been able to watch this whole thing unfold.
But Joe Lycett thinks that the guy looks like this. seeing him in real life was never going to sort of trigger that alert on him.
Poor old Joe then, he was, you know, he had to stay. They could have got rid of him, couldn't they? Could have gone, thanks Joe, off you go, we're doing this Brexit thing now. But no, they kept him. And to keep him involved, what did they do? They gave him an easel and just said, and now, while we do the Brexit debate, Joe Lycett's going to paint Brexit.
Now, we've set Joe up here with some paints. He's going to paint his representation of Brexit for us.
Yep.
We've also...
That's what's happening on this show.
Yeah.
Oh. Amazing.
And we just go through what a lovely, lovely, brilliant man Joe Lycett is, that person.
He is a lovely man.
Oh, God, I'd have drowned in that situation. I'd have said some terrible things and never worked again.
Hello there.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly, we haven't got long. Please listen to the all-new Angelos and Barry podcast.
It's a family one.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. There's so much muck in it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But there was another, you know, in their tradition of getting guests involved in the previous film, which, you know, they like to do, however tenuous it might be. There was a thing where they had a film. Joe Lycett got a lesson in doorstepping off a one show reporter called Justin, or something.
Yes,
and but it turned into a sort of it wasn't for television anymore.
No,
it became a proper lesson. So there was a film about what was it about? It was.
I can't. When our brain
stops working, your mind just skates away, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it
just, this is not for me. It does not concern me.
Yeah, it's nothing to.
Joe Lycett then ended up
the
in
the Vigilantes. One.
It was the Vigilantes, right? Yeah. So, talk us through the Vigilante film, what the hell you remember of it?
I mean, and you were there, So it was about some people in is it Birmingham or somewhere like that.
Was it Solihull?
No, Joe Lycett's from Birmingham.
Yeah. No, it was. It was in Solihull in the West Midlands, yes.
And so this was a group of people who sort of set up their own vigilante force to walk around. And they basically, it's a lovely, sweet idea, but they were like, well, we don't get involved. We don't do anything. We don't even say, hey, stop that. We don't do that. We literally just sort of watch and phone the police if anything happens.
They were called Tracy and Wayne.
Oh.
I know. They got high-vis jackets.
They did, that's right.
That they got themselves.
But this is just sexy neighbourhood watch, isn't it? This is slightly more proactive neighbourhood watch.
Yeah.
Neighbourhood watch with your foot firmly outside.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. Mm. But they were doing it without the backing of the police because they said that the estate they live on, no one there trusts the police. No one here trusts the police anymore, do they? Because it's just so many stabbings round here. And the Padero police don't even come out no more. So they said they didn't trust them. So they hadn't got the backing of the police. So then it cut to a policeman just going, well, people shouldn't do this. It's dangerous, isn't it? They're out there, Ivy's jacket, that's all they got.
Well, what I liked was that the guy doing this, and you think, this guy's an angel. I mean, what an amazing guy that he really wants to make the world a better place. And then they go, yeah, but you do have a criminal record. Well, that was a long time ago.
I've done me crime, I've served me time.
I went down the wrong path.
But now I just want to help people.
Yeah. Back then, I wanted to.
Don't stab him like that. Stab him like this.
Twist the knife or he won't come out clean. For God's sake, mate, you're doing it wrong.
But then they had, because there were just two of them, that's Tracy and Wayne. Yeah. And then they had a group of people in Shirley, not far away, that were backed by the police.
Shirley, did she have any say in
that? No, she did not. Twist it when he comes out to Shirley. Twist it. Comes out clean.
And as he goes,
wipe it on the curtain. And then they were backed by the police, so they had this entire sequence of going, well, these guys are doing it right, but these Tracy and Wayne are nonsense over here. It's got pitting these vigilantes off against each other.
Well, that's the only thing. I would say arm the vigilantes with knives and see who wins. You know, vigilante turf wars would be...
Channel 5, that'll run and run.
What I liked most about this, we like to do things you've learned from the One Show at the moment. This week, I learned that police drones, because they had one, tiny though they are still painted in police livery.
Aww.
So they had it was checkered like a police car. That's it's a nice. Tiny little drone. I'm like, what a waste of money.
I got quite excited at that, thinking, what, you can volunteer and then you can do drones? I'll have some of that.
The thing is, and it comes back to my show on Dave.
Doesn't it all?
Yeah. It's just an endless procession of people crashing drones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just gonna smash up everybody.
Yeah, but your average drone, you're not allowed to fly a drone over residential stuff, are you?
No, true.
Because people can do stuff. Yeah. But if you're the police with police livery,
do what you like.
You can stick your drone where you like, Mrs., can't you?
Yeah, and it was off the back of this then that. They said to Joe Lycett something like, I don't know, have you got a criminal record or something? And he said, well, Joe, you're doing a show where you're doorstepping people yourself, aren't you? Like, and he's doing this Channel 4 consumer thing where he's putting... And then Justin, who has done this like as a journalist, started giving Joe Lycett advice.
Mm.
But he forgot he was on telly. It was just like they were sort of chatting in the pub. And Matt had to just sort of go, this isn't for now.
Back in the room.
Well, you can get some tips from Justin Wise here about doorstepping and the best.
I'd love to, because it's
part. Yeah.
So you're going to be confronting people?
Yeah, and I'm frightened because I'm getting panicked.
Yeah, just like the police, you've got to be careful because people can turn on you.
They can lash out.
And also, don't be too insistent. You know, put the key questions that you've got for them to them. Right. Do give them time to reply.
And enjoy. What about bribery?
Took the bit there, Justin, didn't you?
Yeah,
you took the bit. You went straight in there.
we've got to talk about your tour because you've just finished.
Yes,
there was a terrible. terrible bit of sound here.
Oh my god!
Yeah, when they opened the mic in the canteen.
Yes.
Yeah, right the way through halfway through the interview.
What was going on?
I wondered, were they playing Joe Lycett's DVD? Had they just left the audio on of Joe Lycett's DVD?
Well, no, because I'm sure there were words in there. Like you said, it sounded like someone had opened a door into a corridor, a canteen, or whatever. So I think the thing to do, what they were trying to do, I think, because they've done this before, when they mentioned the title of Joe's show, That's the Way, Our Heart, Joe Lycett, they started to play that song, I think. Right. That was the idea, in the background, underneath. They've done it that sort of thing before. But it very quickly became this wormhole into backstage.
That's the one.
We've been singing it all afternoon, Barry
Cassidy. Yeah, stuck in the head. I apologise.
But I mean, you were having a go at your dad there about, you know, leaving home, this, that, and the other. You have left home.
I've left home.
Eventually.
Yeah.
How's life in your own gap now?
Oh, it's nice, isn't it? Nice to move out. I'm 30 and I've moved out. So.
Why did you take your time?
Well, I felt guilty because Mum sort of made a big deal of it and she's like, oh, are you going to leave me? Leave me with your father? And I have. But I've literally moved 10 minutes round the corner. And she said to me, you may as well have moved a million miles away.
Like,
no, I'm 10 minutes round the corner, Helen. But it's nice. It's like nice to be able to.
It was just confusing talking.
It was like voices coming through the ether. It was like a Ouija board was suddenly in the studio.
They were very lucky they didn't have a fucking hell there as well, weren't they?
Did you learn anything from the one show this week, Lizzie? Anything at all?
All I learned this week was that butchers think they can't say fart on telly. when the butcher said, oh, yeah, it was vegans versus meat eaters.
Yeah.
Yes. And at one point the butcher was saying, well, you know, eating a lot of, you get a lot of, you will get people having a lot of methane release. Methane release? Yes.
Now, we should talk about the vegans.
Here we go,
Jake. What a handy week for you to be on here. What day was this? Tuesday?
Monday.
The three billboards outside Middlesbrough or something where a vegan man, and he did look like a vegan man.
Oh, he really did.
Had put some billboards up persuading people to have a meat-free Christmas. What did you make of it, vegan Jake?
I've always maintained that you shouldn't be allowed to publicly declare yourself vegan unless you've been approved by a council of me. Because we are by and large terrible ambassadors for the cause. I mean, this guy, like you say, like you could tell if it was like if there was a lineup and you're like spot the vegan, everyone did that one. You'd be going down immediately. And so it was very sweet what he'd done. You know, it was a nice endeavour, and I admire that. But, oh, man.
I had a slight issue. Not an issue. That's not the right word at all. There were two bits that made me go, oh. Did you notice the subliminal director having a go at vegans moment?
No. What?
No.
So our vegan friend, as you've just been talking about, who looked like a vegan and was a vegan.
Yeah.
Okay. They then cut from him talking, and they also left the camera too long on him after he'd stopped a sentence. So he just stared maniacally down the lens for a moment. Did you spot that? But then it cut directly to the butcher, who was putting the other point of view, balance, and he got a sausage filling machine.
Oh, yes.
Right? And it was a close-up of the nozzle of a sausage filling machine that he was cleaning. So he was rubbing it
with his mouth.
He was rubbing it in a certain way, right, to clean it. But then liquid came out of the end of it. Right. So it cut from weirdy vegan man to the director going, you wanker.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a bit of amazing TV.
Was it Todorov's Theory of the Montage of Attractions? or was it Eisenstein?
Eisenstein?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Was it Eisenstein?
The Russian Steps.
Montage of Attractions,
yes.
Inferring meaning through montage.
Oh,
I mean, that butcher was fantastic. He was like, you know, I'm 911 years of age and red meat's never done me any harm. I mean, irreparable harm to the animals concerned. But, I mean, he said, by my reckoning, there's a lot more people on this planet than cows.
His own reckoning.
Like, yeah, but by my reckoning, 1.5 billion of them won't be killed this year. I mean, even with all the conflict we have.
Yeah. But there was a poster. One of his billboards, because this man had done the billboards, and it said, at what point did we stop loving them and start eating them? Mm. Right, is that a vegan phrase generally, or did he make that up? I don't know.
I'm a lover, not an eater.
Okay. You could be both, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But there was a picture of a girl kissing a sheep on the mouth. Mm. That was the picture, wasn't it?
Do you not do that?
Well, yes, but only shortly before I do eat.
She give me the horn.
But he just thought it was an odd animal to pick because the contextual, the social fabric of sheep shagging jokes. It was just wrong to have a small girl kissing a sheep on her mouth when it could have been any animal.
But this is the problem: is that
you preferred an old man shagging a sheep? Is that what you're trying to say?
Or a dog?
The problem with veganism is that it is a grassroots movement. You know, it's not like a beef roots movement, and so versus the might of massive corporate machines with all of the PR money that they spend, the dairy industry, the meat industry, you know, the incredible barrage of propaganda you get about happy cows and happy chickens and just skipping into the abattoir, gleefully presenting their throats to be slit. And that versus some guy who's amassed £211.17 to make a poster on the A6021059. And, you know,
slightly one sided now you put it like
the
that.
The best thing he can do with royalty free clip art that he can find. It's
fair
enough. There's no contest.
Yeah, you're
there's
right.
No contest.
And he had to catch that child in the wild, didn't he? To pose for the photo.
It was all consensual.
But I thought it was one of those classic one-show off-the-shelf films, you know, which we like. We know they sit there. We know they go through them. Oh, and it was like, okay, here, where's a thing that people are... vegans, put that on.
I want to know how you get on the list of the weird presenters that do the tiny little film, because I want to be one of the... I really like that they have a very low threshold of... looks for the presenters. And
I know who you're talking about.
Well, my two favourites.
I know
favorites.
Who you're talking about.
No, my man favourite and my lady favourite.
Go on then.
Go, can you do your lady favourite first?
Christine Northern.
Christine Northern?
The gardener lady.
Yeah.
I love her. God, I want to have tea and crumpets with her.
She's great, isn't
she's
she?
She's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant.
Was she the one who did the film on locksmith?
Yes! Lock picking with the little tiny boy. We'll get back to that.
I went to the toilet for that, sorry.
Oh, no, that was brilliant. She's amazing. And she's got this bosom that you could fall into and just, oh, I'm home. But the poor man's Eddie the Eagle, Alex Riley!
That's so cruel. That is so cruel. Just because someone looks like Scary Spice off Bo Selector. Right there.
Which film did Alex Riley do?
He did. Oh, Christmas is a time when families get together he's like, oh, God, that's the most tenuous thing. If I'd thought of that in a brainstorming meeting, I'd have been too embarrassed to put it on the table.
This was this was because Sally Phillips and Ronnie Ancona were on.
Yeah.
Tuesday talking about their film Surviving Christmas, so absolutely right. Where do we go in production meeting? We've got them on. The film's about surviving Christmas. What are we going to do? We're literally going to have a film with Alex Riley asking people how to survive Christmas on the streets.
Well, he's of Sheffield, I believe.
That's right.
I've been really horrible about Alex Riley, and I sort of feel like a bit of
where did Alex Riley come from? Was he made in a test tube?
I've sort of been a bit obsessed with him for some time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to kick this guy. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But his earliest work, with which I'm familiar, is his work on what he would term the Caravan Channel. Now, it's Caravan. Right. It's always been Caravan.
Caravan.
Caravan. Or Caravan. He alternates. The guy's a swinger. I think this is him giving off a subliminal message that he's a swinger, because he goes both ways with Caravan or Caravan.
How does he say Caravaggio?
I don't think that ever comes into his world. So he did a show where he was sort of reviewing caravans on the Caravan Channel, right up the EPG, like in the absolute backwaters of the channels.
It was a bitty show Tuesday, wasn't it? Because they did
all over the shop.
They had that film in it of just some, and nobody had anything you've not heard before about Surviving Christmas. It was always like, oh, in the relatives. It was an absolute placeholder. It was just there to have a gap between the thing there and the thing there.
But I feel that this whole Christmas season has been really badly done by everyone. Like, all advertising. How many adverts have you seen referencing Brussels sprouts?
Yeah.
Like, this is a 70s joke. Like, we've done Brussels. There is nothing left to be said about
Everybody
Brussels sprouts.
Actually likes
They're
them.
They're fine now because they actually bred genetically the bitterness out of Brussels sprouts. Those sprouts you had in the 70s don't taste like that anymore.
And we all know not to put crosses in them anymore. You shred them and you fry them in butter.
Yeah, roast
Delicious.
The fuckers.
Bit of bacon, not for you, Jake. But a bit of,
here we go.
Some nuts.
They did this whole thing about, like, here we go, oh, Christmas is coming, and oh, we fight over pigs in blankets and a small rock of crystal meth. Like, everything's been done.
And right there, just as someone said, that thing is where we leave part one of this week's The One Show show, leaving you dangling like the testes of an old, old man. Cup the podcast again tomorrow as we pick up exactly where we left off, because awkward, disjointed non-sequiturs where you can't remember what happened because it's now incoherent and lacking in any kind of...
You got a lot to learn from Matt Baker, mate.
Logic. This is the future of audio. Welcome to podcasts. See you tomorrow.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author Elizabeth Gilbert about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.